Hello and welcome to Eisner Amper's podcast series. With an impressive roster of real estate and construction clients, we're always interested in the latest industry trends and developments, as well as any related business and accounting opportunities and challenges. Today's topic is building a construction advisory practice. I'm your host, Dave Plasko, and with us today is Mike Stuhltrager, a senior audit manager specializing in the construction industry based in Philadelphia's Eisner Amper office. Mike, welcome and thanks for being here.
Nice to be with you, Dave.
So let's start with regulations. That's as good a place as any to start. Anything that your construction clients should be up to speed on?
Well, there really are two main big regulations coming down the pipeline that I think will affect all of our construction clients, along with probably all of our clients in general. But there's something that I think should be looked at now. So revenue recognition is a significant change with ASC 606. And what they've done is they've created this change to develop a single principle-based revenue standard for US GAAP and IFRS, which is international standards. And what it does is it increases the comparability across industries and capital markets, and it's going to require better disclosure on the financial statements.
Okay.
And this is significant because for contractors, they spend a lot of time trying to measure revenue recognition just on an ongoing daily basis. So operationally, they're always looking at their revenue recognition procedures, not only as how it gets disclosed in the financial statements, but operationally how they're measuring revenue as they go throughout the process.
Sure.
The core principle changes include identifying certain performance obligations and assigning your transaction prices to each one of those performance obligations. It is not too far off from what contractors do today, but some contractors might be doing different types of work where within one contract, they might need to now split down and measure them separately. So a way in which a contractor measures their performance and their percentage completion on a contract might actually change.
Okay.
And this is going to be effective for 2018 for public companies and 2019 for private companies.
Okay, that's coming up. Yeah.
That's coming up, especially if you're doing comparative statements or something where you're going to look back 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
The second big change is the lease standards. And this is ASU 2016-02, but it addresses off-balance sheet financing concerns related to operating leases. So traditionally, companies who have operating leases run them through their profit and loss statement and then show them as rent expense. Okay. This is going to be a total divergence from that. If you have a lease that extends greater than 12 months, you have to reflect it as if in today's world it's a capital lease. So you'd have an asset, you'd have a liability, there'd be an interest component to that, there'd be another expense component to that, could be rent expense. But that's going to drastically change the presentation of their financial statements and, from an operating standpoint, how it's measured, even though nothing has really changed. So that's going to have a significant impact. A lot of contractors lease equipment and run them through operating leases. But the whole goal of this new standard is to reflect the liabilities of the company that extend beyond a 12-month term. And there's some exceptions, but generally, it's going to have a significant impact on the financial.
Okay, statements. Sounds like a couple of things to keep an eye on. Tell us about you. What do you do day-to-day for your clients that, you know, you kind of add value to their construction practices?
What I find is I spend a lot of time working on processes with clients. Construction moves quickly, and there are all these different types of variables. So oftentimes when I talk to a client, they're seeing struggles or seeing issues, they've seen failures within the process. Well, they're seeing them now, but they've happened months ago. And once that happens, there's no way in recovering the losses you've already incurred.
Okay.
So a lot of times what I spend my time with now is working on the process itself, making sure that there's a rigorous system in place so that they're constantly measuring performance. One of the big areas of concern is an indirect pool of costs. Some companies don't spend the time to directly cost out items that should be directly costed, in my opinion, but are easy to throw into an indirect cost of, you know, pool of costs.
Okay.
So what I do is, you know, project managers is a really good example. Labor on project managers, they might manage 15, 20 jobs, but why can't you take their hours and break them down and cost them like anybody else in your company? And what happens is you can take that indirect pool of costs and narrow that down and make that a smaller category of costs so that you now know more of your direct costs into your job. And I think that's better for managers and for operators to understand how they're bidding their work, how they're performing on that work, so that they know going into the next bid process, well, you know, here's our true margin on that.
Yeah. You know. Okay. So a lot more than just crunching numbers, a lot getting to a lot of process improvements and a
Absolutely.
Lot of qualitative stuff. Sure.
Yeah, I'd say that's something that we spend more significant amounts of time on throughout the middle part of the year.
Because, yep.
you know, year end, we're compliance driven.
Yep.
You know, there's needs with that. But most of the other times of the year, we're talking processes, we're talking implementation of mm-hmm. new ideas, new measurement tools. And then with the difficulty in getting financing in the industry the way it is, you have to be on top of it in order to establish a good relationship with the people you need.
Okay, a lot of good stuff. Does that bring to mind any recent client case studies, any interesting projects, obviously without mentioning anyone by name, but any interesting projects you recently worked on?
Yeah, so I had a commercial specialty trade contractor. It was a growing business. So at the time, I think he had gone from $10 million to $15 million in revenue, and that's a significant change for a specialty trade contractor of what he was doing. And when he went through that change, he added, I think it was three different project managers to help with the projects.
Yep.
He couldn't do them all himself. And he was very good at what he did, and he maintained good cost controls. But as he added these project managers, he didn't have a process in place. He went by his gut often. He would say, well, I think we're going to do well in this job, and this is what I feel. And then, you know, we started having this conversation because we saw that there was an issue going on with a lack of oversight on the project managers. And then that started to come through on profitability. Now, at first, he saw it as one big issue. You know, well, I can just tell that my cash flow is limited and it's kind of coming through my operations. I'm not sure exactly where it's at. Well, it turns out that, first off, he wasn't very familiar with the accounting system he was using. He didn't understand the capabilities that it had. And when we got in there and we talked to him and I sat down with him, we went through the canned reports that the system offered. And it had a lot of great reports, but what it didn't have was a real WIP schedule using a cost-to-cost approach. It had a billings-to-billings approach, but it didn't have a cost-to-cost approach. And so what happened was, even though he had estimated his costs at the beginning of the job, he wasn't tracking them on an ongoing basis to adjust for any potential overruns.
Okay.
And, you know, his new project managers, whether they knew that coming into their job or didn't know that coming into their job, he wasn't enforcing any need for them to think about that. So what we did is we went to the software developer and we created some new internal reports. One of them was a new WIP report that reflected the total cost incurred, the total estimated cost to complete that job, and then also billings and other, you know, important numbers. But also we had a column for the assigned project manager. So at the end of the day, I think it was a weekly basis, he would look at a WIP report that showed him all of this activity. And what he recognized was that he had one project manager who had significant overruns on his jobs.
Okay.
So he was able to then go operational and follow him around a little bit. And he figured out that his labor was just running over about 50% off of their estimates. And eventually he ended up removing that project manager and it helped him save on potential future losses.
Okay.
But it was a really great process. I mean, he learned a lot through it, the owner did, because he wasn't used to a process mm-hmm. that robust.
Right.
And he also acknowledged the fact that, you know, when you're growing, you know, most companies fail when they're growing, not when they're losing business. It's when they're growing mm-hmm. new business. And this was a great example of it. And it was a really fun time working with them
because
of it.
So you diagnosed a problem and you treated it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mike, what's unique about the construction advisory services area, you know, relative to other industry niches?
Well, construction involves all these new moving pieces. I think I said that before, you know, and there's just an increased risk factor because of it. So, you know, financing is difficult to procure. Profitability can be threatened quickly, you know, through unforeseen issues. But sometimes those issues are controllable and sometimes they aren't controllable. So, you know, just through some of the examples we've already talked about, I mean, nothing is canned.
Mm.
If you use canned, you're not going to get to really analyzing the problems or the potential issues or being able to forecast what you want to do with your business. So that's where I think construction is really unique. It's a risky business mm-hmm. that requires a lot of detail. and you have to look at it constantly in order to alleviate as much risk as you can through what you can control.
Well, thanks, Mike, for this great expertise and insight on this topic.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to the Eisner Amper podcast series. Visit EisnerAmper.com for more information on this and a host of other topics. And join us for our next Eisner Amper podcast when we get down to business.